Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Janna Vallabha Kivaradhari Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Kivaradhari Yasoda Nam Yasodhanandana bhajajanaranjana Yamunateya vandachari Yamunateya vandachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we will read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 1, the first step in God realization, texts 27 and 28. Since 27 does not have a purport, I will just read the Sanskrit and English, and then we can repeat text 28 together, not the one which is on the board here. De fe chanuni sutalam vishvavah vishvamukte uudvayam vitalam satalam cha maitalam tattachonam haipate nabastalam nabisaohiyanti. Translation: the knees of the universal form are the planetary system of the name Sutal, and the two thighs are the Vital and Atal planetary systems. The hips are Maital, and outer space is the depression of his navel. Text 28, we can repeat together. Urustalam Jyotiranikam Asyam
Urustalam Jyotiranikam Asyam
Urustalam Jyotiranikam Asyam
Urustalam Jyotiranikam Asyam
Viva Maharvadanam Vajanusyam
Viva
Tapo Varatim Vidura Vipumsam
Tapo Varatim Vipumsam
Satyam Tu Sirsa Nishasra Sirsna
Satyam Tu Sirsa Nishasra Sirsna
Purastalam Jyotiranikam Avasyam.
Purastalam Jyotiranikam Avasyam.
Eva Maharvadanam Vaichanasyam. Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam.
Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam.
Satyam Tu Sirsani Sahasya Sirsnam.
Satyam Tu Sirsani Sahasya Sirsnam.
Urastalam Jyotiranikam Asyam.
Urastalam Jyotiranikam Asyam.
Eva Maharvadanam Vaichanasyam. Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam.
Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam.
Satyam Tu Sirsani Sasya Sirsnam.
Satyam Tu Sirsani Sasya
Sirsnam.
Urastalam Jyoti Anikam Asya. Eva Maharvadanam Vaichanasya.
Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam.
Satyam Tu Sirsani Sahasya Sirsnam. Urastalam Jyotiranikam Asya.
Eva
Maharvadanam Vaichanasya. Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam. Satyam Tu Sirsani Sahasya Sirsnam. Urastalam Jyotiranikam Asya.
Eva
Maharvadanam Vaichanasya. Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam. Satyam Tu Sirsani Sahasya Sirsnam. Urastalam Jyotiranikam Asya.
Eva Maharvadanam Vaichanasya.
Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam. Satyam Tu Sirsani Sahasya Sirsnam. Urastalam Jyotiranikam Asya.
Eva Maharvadanam Vaichanasya.
Tapo Bharatim Viduradi Pumsam.
Satyam Tu Sirsani Sahasya Sirsnam.
A true translation. Ura. High. Stalam. Place.
The chest.
Jyoti Anikam.
The luminary planets.
Asya.
Of him.
Shiva.
The neck.
Maha.
The planetary system above the luminaries.
Vadanam.
Mouth.
Vai.
Exactly.
Jana.
The planetary system above
Maha.
Asya.
Of him.
Tapa.
The planetary system above
the Janas.
Bharatim,
forehead.
Vidu,
Isnon,
Adi,
the
original,
Pumsa,
personality,
Satyam,
the topmost planetary system,
Tu,
but
Shirsani,
the head,
Sahasra,
1,000,
Sirsna,
one with heads. Translation and purport by Abhay Charanavinda Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary system. His neck is the Mars planet, his mouth is the Janas planet, and his forehead is the Tapas planetary system. The topmost planetary system is known as Satyaloka, is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. Purport. The effulgent luminary planets like the Sun and the Moon are situated almost in the mid-place of the universe, and as such, they are to be known as the chest of the original gigantic form of the Lord. And above the luminary planets, called also the heavenly planets of the universal directorate, demigods, are the Mahar, Janas, and Tapa planetary systems, and above all the Satyaloka planetary systems, where the chief directors of the modes of material nature reside, namely Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. This Vishnu is known as the Kshirodakasai Vishnu, and he acts as a supersoul in every living being. There are innumerable universes floating on the causal ocean, and in each of them the representation of the Virat form of the Lord is there, along with innumerable suns, moons, heavenly demigods, Brahmas, Vishnus, and Shivas, all of them situated in one part of the inconceivable potency of Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10:42. Omagyana timandasya chanam sanasimha shakshu unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurubhyo shri chaitanya manopistam stapitam yena bhutale svamrupadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri yudapadakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamsa Sirupam Javisatam Sagana Ragnatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savlutam Pajana Saitam Sikrishna Chitanya Devam Sirada Krishna Padan Sagana Lita Sifishakam Pitam Sa He Krishna Karuna Sinu Dina Bando Jyat Pate Ko Presha Ko Kakanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kansna Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanashtri Vishabhana Sudha Devi Pranamama Hare Priya Franka Kalpta Vishakri Prasun Vivsa Patnam Pavana Vyo Vaishnavyo Namo Nama Chaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radhada Shiva Sati Kaurava Bhakta Vinna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamani Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaurupaina Pacharani Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paskacharam Desa Tarani Srila Prabhupada Ki So here, the universal form is described. Sutta Goswami, or Sukadev Goswami, speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, is explaining and describing this universal form because he's concerned with those who do not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they only believe in their sense perception. So this atheists, they can see the universe and all the planets and stars and so on. And they can, Sukadev Goswami said, they can meditate on this universal form that see it. And by that meditation, they will become purified. And that, so, in the last line of the purport of verse 28, that it is said that, I read it again, there are innumerable universes floating on the coastal ocean, and each of them, the representation of the Virat form of the Lord, is there, along with innumerable suns, moons, heavenly planets, heavenly demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all of them situated in one part of the inconceivable potency of Lord Krishna, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.42. So they are situated in the inconceivable potency of the Lord. That what is the inconceivable potency of the Lord? That this is from Satsvarup Maharaj's book. This is in May 1972. Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, and at that day, many leaders came for a meeting, and there was also a sannyas initiation. Hridayananda Maharaj received sannyas, then Satsvarup Maharaj received sannyas 1972, May. He writes, all the GBC leaders of our society were there, and Srila Prabhupada called them all to his garden. There was a small garden there, and he asked them a question. This is an account from Jagadish, who was saying, Srila Prabhupada had all the GBCs come to Los Angeles, and some received sannyas, and we discussed reinforcing preaching zones, strategic plan. So all the GBC men were sitting there in the room with Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada looked us all over, and he said, are you all convinced that, so Jagadish writes, we just sat there. Nobody said anything for 2 minutes. It was one of the heaviest moments of my life. So Srila Prabhupada was challenging us. Srila Prabhupada said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm convinced. Therefore, I'm pushing on. I'm pushing on because it is fact, not fiction. That much I'm personally convinced. So when someone says, you believe, I say, no, it is fact. You must show that your conviction by preaching and facing opposing elements. But are you convinced? If you are not convinced, that's not good for me. The first thing is enthusiasm. You have to work more than me. anyone who has life, he can preach. So yes, there is a lot about Krishna consciousness, which is inconceivable. That I found an interesting point in the purport. Of course, these planetary systems, which are described here, we will hear in the third canto, chapter 10 and following, how all these planetary systems here described, how they are put in place or created. First, we know at the beginning of creation, Brahma was sitting on the lotus flower. There came fierce wind, the lotus flower was moving from one side to another. And he heard the sound tapa, and then he did austerities for a very long time, facing all the opposing elements. And then in his heart, then Krishna appeared before him. It's in the Bhagavatam, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, appeared and shaked hands with Brahma. And he gave him the knowledge to the heart by the Gayatri mantra, from which everything came. Then he started the creation. But it's mentioned there that the creation of Brahma, Visarga, Brahma is not really creating things. Because all these planets here, the seed of these planets is in the Bhagavatam, were in the lotus flower. They were already there, all these planets. It puts them only in place and divided them in 14 planetary systems, divided in three categories, the lower, the middle, and the higher planetary systems. We hear about all these planetary systems described. It is the Nisa Sutal. Sutal, in the Bhagavatam, we hear a lot of Sutal in the 8th canto, that Bali Maharaj resides there with Vamandev, who stays at Bali's gate. And it is said these Sutal planets are as opulent as the heavenly planets. That's interesting. The demons have also very opulent residence. And the buildings and palaces on the planet Sutal at least equal those of the heavenly planets. In the Bhagavatam. And then you have the ties of the universal form is vital and atal. Vital, that is where Lord Shiva and his wife Gauri resides. And atal is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. That seems one of the lower planets where demons reside. That it's mentioned in the 5th canto, Atal, chapter 25. In the planet Atal, the yawning of a demon has produced three kinds of women. One is called Svairini, independent, Kaimini, lusty, and Punshali, very easily subdued by man. That's the Atal. And when we go down, we have Mahital, that's the hips, of the universal form. I could not find any information in the Bhagavatam on Maital, only the name. And then you have outer space, is the depression of his navel, his chest, we are here in the sun and the moon, the luminary planets. And then we go up and we have these higher planets. Mahar, Janas, Tapa, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. This Mahar, Janas, and Tapaloka, these are higher planetary systems, and it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, this is the destination of successful yogis and those who are performing severe austerities or in the renounced order of life. It said on these planets there are very compassionate souls, and sometimes they come down to the earth as messiahs to spread Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada mentioned in the first canto, but these higher planetary systems, Maruloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka, during the devastation of the universe, there are four kinds of pralayas or devastations mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Of course, we have at the end of Brahma's day, everything, all the planetary systems are destroyed, put under water. That inundation. But then sometimes during the day, Brahma takes a nap. That's another pralaya. That's another destruction. But during that destruction, that's a partial destruction. And then all planets are inundated, on exception of these higher planets, Maruloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka. That's it. So this interesting. We learned that also from the last chapter of the 8th canto, Matsya Avatar, there you have this partial destruction pralaya, that all the planets are inundated, but not these higher planets. Of course, you have a third pralaya, that's at the end of Brahma's life. Then the whole universe is this. And you have a fourth destruction when Mahavishnu inhales and all the planets go, all the universes enter into him. And then you have Satyaloka, the planet of Brahma. It's interesting that Brahma, he has a special body, a causal body. A causal body is a body made of pure intelligence. pure intelligence. So demigods have different bodies. We have gross bodies and subtle bodies. The demigods have subtle heavenly bodies. And Brahma has a causal body. It is said that Brahma, at the end of his life, Not all Brahmas, but our Brahma is a pure devotee. He's the head of our sampradaya. That at the end, he's going back to the spiritual world. And all these higher planets, all the residents there, they go with him. Jana loka, mara loka, tapayo loka. They go with him. So you have different paths. You have these yogis and these tapasvis. They come to these higher planetary systems. And then they have to wait till the end of Brahma to go back to the spiritual world. So we have Pravriti Marg and Nivriti Marg. That's also another point. Our process is Nivriti Marg. The process of Krishna consciousness is the path of renunciation. But we practice real renunciation. Why are these yogis going to these higher planets and not to the spiritual world? Because to go out of this universe, we need ananya bhakti, pure devotional service. You must know Krishna, and we must have developed a relationship with Krishna. So they did not come to that point. But they became purified by the yogic process and by the process of austerities, which is a very difficult path. They are also renouncing, but their renouncing is not complete. Renunciation is described in the real renunciation is described by Rupa Goswami that and the process of real renunciation is Iyayasya Redasye Karmana Manasagri Nikalas Apavasyastu Shiva Mukta Sa Uchate, acting as a liberated soul. Acting as a liberated soul means using one's body, mind and convictions in the service of the Lord. And that is real renunciation. Use everything what you have in the service of the Lord, and that's based on spiritual knowledge, understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. It is meant for his service. So your body, mind and words are belonging to Krishna. We can speak words because the soul desires, and the super soul is controlling material nature, mayadakshana prakriti, and makes us speak. The soul in itself desires, and because Krishna allows, we speak. It means that the speaking itself is indirectly done by the super soul. We only desire, but we think we are doing it. It's a very deep point. Therefore, whatever capacity we have, whatever we can do, we use in Krishna's service. And that's the basis of real renunciation. That realizing this belongs to Krishna and we use it in his service. But these tapasvis and these yogis, they don't have that conception that everything belongs to Krishna and is meant for his service. That they have no realization of what the absolute truth really means. Therefore, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, he explains three levels of confidential knowledge. And the first level is Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Shrusti Nakangsim Samsavesha Bhushim Ad Bhaktim Labhate Param. The first level is Brahman realization. Brahman realization, and what's a symptom? We don't lament anymore. We don't hanker for anything in this world anymore. We want only to be attached to Krishna. This is the first level, the Brahman realization. That's mostly what the jnanis are striving for, and also the yogis, this Brahman realization. But also for us as devotees, it's important that this is the level of nishtha, becoming steady in devotional service. Because we want to think of Krishna with devotion, but it starts with giving attention to Krishna. And if you lament for things in this world, or you hanker for things in this world, then your mind is busy with that, and there is no Krishna in your mind. You chant, and your mind is going to these things, then it's offensive chanting, because you say to Krishna, I have something more important, all the things in this world. I have no time for you. I'm busy in my own world, this material world in which everything is very temporary. Every moment we can get out of here. This lamentation and hankering, what's the meaning of it? That 50 years ago, so many things happened in my life, so many conflicts, so many difficulties, so many people, bad relationship, this, that, and also some things which were more pleasant, but now we are 50 years later and most people are dead and so on. What's the use of to lament? It's all. So it's going in time. If you think tomorrow I'm going to die, tomorrow I'm not there anymore, is that all important, all these things, this hankering, this lamentation? No, it is not. So Brahman realization means nishtha. Then you have given up all these things. And then you can focus your mind really on Krishna. But it's a high platform, nishtha. But of course, for devotees, this is only a stage we go to. But for the jnanis who want to attain Brahman, that's their goal. Then they will be peaceful, and that's. But yes, of course, the second level of confidential knowledge, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, I will give you more confidential knowledge. In 1861, Krishna says, Ishvara Sarvabhudnam Ritsayunatisati. Yeah, it is a unatistati. Brahmayam sarvabhutnam yantra yudhari maya. I'm sitting in everyone's heart and I'm conducting the wanderings of all living entities. So that's the super soul realization. And devotees also come to that in higher stages. Because after Brahman realization, after nishtha, the devotee becomes ketrochi, becomes really attached to Krishna. And then comes to asakti. Asakti, Srila Prabhupada describes as transcendental television. But How is that happening for a devotee? Srila Prabhupada describes that in the Nectar of Instruction, text 8 in the purport. There he says, yes, that there are five stages of Smaranavastha. So when we are dedicated to the chanting, at a certain moment, sometimes when we chant, sometimes we think of Krishna, and sometimes not, right? In the beginning, I could chant 16 rounds without thinking of Krishna, not one moment, but I was chanting. So bhakti, Srila Prabhupada describes or translates as devotional service. There are two aspects. The service is external, but the devotion is the internal part. Of course, in the beginning we don't have that internal part. But gradually, the time we think of Krishna becomes longer, and the time that we forget Krishna becomes shorter. And then gradually, when one comes to the point of that one thinks constantly of Krishna, and the beginning of that thinking of constantly thinking of Krishna means you are Brahman realized. No time for lamenting, no time for desiring things in this world. You think always of Krishna. And then when you always think of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains in a lecture, then Krishna will gradually reveal him to you. And the first thing Krishna reveals is his beautiful form. His beautiful form. And then you perceive his qualities, his sweetness, his beautiful smile, that gradually Krishna reveals his form to you. And then after that, one will perceive that there is not alone Krishna. Then one sees the spiritual environment, it's in the holy name, and then one perceives Krishna's associates, and then finally one enters the Lord's pastimes, sees the pastimes in the heart, and as Srila Prabhupada calls this transcendental television. So that is the realization of the super soul in the heart for the devotees. Of course, when we have that realization, in this verse, this is in the fourth canto, I think. That's in the third canto, the verse 3, 9, 11. Because it does, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Parivartit Saroja, that verse. It is said that your devotees can see you through the ears by the bona fide process of hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed. So by chanting, our heart becomes cleansed. And you take seat there, then Krishna takes seat in your heart. He's already in your heart, but it is said here in Brahma's prayers. And then you take seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So Krishna will appear in the form to which you feel attracted to, your Ishtadeva. Krishna will appear in that form, in the heart. And of course, the yogis, they see the four-armed form of Vishnu. But devotees, it becomes Krishna, two armed forms. But of course, then Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says that the most confidential knowledge is Manmanabhav Madbhakto Majimam Namaskuru. You always think of me. And by thinking of me, you become purified. Bhava Madbhakto, you become my devotee. And when you become devotee, Machai, you worship me and you offer respect to me. So that's really the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. That surrender to Krishna. That and that's the highest knowledge. By that one will develop pure love for Krishna. That's bhava, and finally one comes to prema, love for Krishna. And that love for Krishna, ananya bhakti, by that we can go back to the spiritual world. All the other yogis, they don't attain the spiritual world. Of course, one may ask, yes, these sages, they go to Janaloka, Tapaloka, and at the end of Brahma's life, they go back to the spiritual world. But that's a long time, trillions of years. I think about Brahma's life is 311 trillion years or something. So that's a very long time. But interesting is, it seems there are only higher planets, Maraloka and Janaloka, then they may have been impersonalist before, but it seems they become devotees. And why do I say that? If you study the eighth canto, there you have in eighth canto the Vamandev, with his third step, he makes a hole in the universe, and it is said his third step is his feet comes to these planets, so, Janaloka, Maraloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. So the sages are sitting there, and slowly these feet comes, and it is. It is said Brahma comes out and prepares all paraphernalia for bathing the feet of Vamandev, which come up there. So it seems they become absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord. So it seems they become attracted to Krishna. Because without that attraction, finally you cannot go back to the spiritual world, because they go up there and they have association with Brahma and so on. They become seemingly Krishna conscious, but they are very, very elevated personalities. That is described here, all these higher planets. In this verses, that of course we should not aspire of going there. This is not our process. This is not our destination. We want to go straight, not just to Vaikuntha, but beyond Vaikuntha, Goloka, Vrindavan, and that is as has been made possible by Lord Chaitanya. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he opened the door for Goloka Vrindavan. And that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the fourth verse of the first of the Adi Lila. There it is said, there's a verse, Anakita Shriram Chira, Karunaya Vatirna Kalo. There is said that he came to offer what has never been offered before. And that's the most elevated mellow of devotional service. Madhurya Ras, the love of the gopis, that had never been offered before. Before Lord Chaitanya, there was, of course, the Sri Sampradaya, and they are also worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, but that's in awe and reference. It's not the higher rasas or moods that... So we have an extraordinary mercy, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because how to get to Goloka Vrindavan? You can only go to Goloka Vrindavan if you have the mercy of a resident of Vrindavan. And who is Lord Chaitanya? Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Srimad Radharani, the highest residence of Vrindavan. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can go to Goloka Vrindavan, getting the mercy. And, of course, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, are they over? No. We can straight be in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes here. His pastime of the Sankirtan, the distribution of the holy name. And by that we can still get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya in this age by participating in the Sankirtan movement. Please Lord Chaitanya, and our path to Goloka Vrindavan is open. Hare Krishna, Jai Prabhupada. That's what I could say on this verse. Any comments, corrections? Questions, yes?
Thank you. You were saying that on the spot. So you were saying that sometimes when you chant, you think of Krishna, something I could really relate to every now and then. And then gradually, as you practice, as you become purified, then remembering some pieces. So can you give us some practical tips on increasing our remembrance and our absorption in Krishna as we chant?
Interesting, I get always questions with things that are myself I'm struggling, so. But so, I cannot speak about realization here, or not a big realization. But what I can say is that when we chant the holy name, and I'm chanting for 30 years now, and it's true, my mind is wandering many times, but still I have a feeling, even if my mind wanders, I have still a feeling of being connected. That connection is there. It's a bit like, of course, it's still offensive chanting, because to come to Namabhas, Haridas Thakur said, which is the purification of the heart, Namabhas. To come to that stage, we must give up the offenses. And one of the main offenses is being inattentive. But what I could say is that, of course, it's in Bhagavad Gita, Yato, Yata, Nishalati, Mana, Shams, Lamastra. The mind wanders and you have to bring it back. So that means we have to learn to be the observer of our mind. Not absorbing and identifying with the mind, but with the observer. And while you chant, you observe your mind, and when it wanders, you bring it back immediately. Don't let it go further, because it's going from one thing or another and another and another. And then, but it can become very difficult. and very intensive, always to bring it back. It's like a fight. And many times it doesn't work. But what works is, and I'm just sharing you the words of my Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And someone asked him, what should I think of what should be my approach when chanting these holy names? And he had a very simple answer, very simple. Chanting Hare Krishna means saying to Krishna, I love you. And if you try to chant and you try to put all your affection and love for Krishna in the chanting, then this control will become very easy. It is by this love, this affection, that we can control the mind. It's not just the function of the intelligence and seeing if it wanders, I bring it back. It may help after a long time, but it's a fight, and it's the love that makes it controlled, that the mind put all our affection and love in the chanting. That's the main point I could mention, and it comes from Bhakti Charamat. Does that help? Thank you. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. I was just wondering, Mother Mukhi, she gave such a nice kind of summary of some of the things you've done in Krishna consciousness. And I was just kind of curious that how you came to Krishna consciousness, and what was your life like kind of leading up to that, you know, like, did you find that when you were very young that you were attracted to this, and then you just carried forward, because it's quite a resume that you have. If you don't mind sharing that, I appreciate it.
I don't mind sharing of that, but I will have 5-10 minutes to answer that. Is that okay? Because it's, it started in 1981. I was 20 years old, a bit of hippie, I had hair till here. And I was with a friend in Antwerp. We were going to a concert of the Dubliners, an Irish folk group, and in a big hall, in a concert hall, one of the biggest in Antwerp. And we were there in Otto Meijer, that's a big street in Antwerp. And suddenly there appeared a devotee. It was in white, a Kriyasta. I never heard of the Hare Krishna movement. And he was distributing magazines. And my friend was an artist. And he said, these are the Hare Krishnas. First of all, I hear Hare Krishna. And he said, they have very nice art. You should buy a magazine from them, just for the art. So I saw this devotee, and then a grandma was coming with her granddaughter at her hand. And she saw this devotee, and she made a big curve around him, like, this is the devil. And when I saw it, I felt compassion. I said, this is not fair to treat someone like just like that. I was in my heart defending that devotee. And I got a magazine from him, and I looked at the magazine, and the title was Back to Godhead, but it was all in Dutch. The only translation of that has been made in Dutch, that Flemish. And then, two years later, I was married, and I was an accountant. I was coming from the accountant's office, taking my bus home, and there again I saw a devotee coming, and he gave me four books, because I knew them from before. I said, you give me these books, but my bus is coming. And the devotee said, oh, no problem, give me all the little money you have in your pocket. And I gave him all the little money, and I went on the bus. And I opened the book, Krishna book, by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I was reading a few pages from the introduction. And I came home, and I put the book on top of my bookshelf. And it remained there for 3-4 years. Then after 3-4 years, I was taking that book again in my hand, Krishna book, and I was thinking, oh, this is stories from India, nice, some mythology. And I started to read that every evening, 2-3 pages. This is Prabhupada's instruction. We should read Krishna book before sleeping, that I got later. So every day I was reading 2-3 pages. And it took me, after 2 years, I was halfway the book. And then I realized this Swami is answering all my questions of life. And then 2 years later, I finished the book. And when the book was finished, I wanted to meet the devotees. But I didn't know who. But somewhere or other, I must have sent in a card for more information of the books. And they sent me an invitation. An invitation for a lecture of a Swami. This Swami was Mahavishnu Goswami, the old Gujarati Swami that got sannyas from Sivaram Maharaj from London. It is from Gujarat. And he gave a lecture in the house of a devotee. So after my office work with suit and tie, I went to that address that was just the house of a Gryasta. And I was ringing at the door, and someone opened the door. Later I get to know that was Bhakta Gustav. I asked, is the lecture here? He said, yes, and he was showing me to the living room. And I went into the living room, and there I saw this Swami sitting. And he looked at me and I said, maybe you can leave your shoes outside. So I went outside, I went in again, and then they started to chant these mantras. And I saw many flowers. That was an altar with deities, but deities were not in my reference of existence. So I didn't see these deities, I saw only the flowers. And they started to chant, and I was thinking, this is very strange. They are dressed in bed sheets with such a tuft of a piece of hair at the back, these ponytails. My mind said, this is too strange, you should go out. But somewhere or other I tolerated. And then the Swami started to give a lecture straight from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, teachings of Lord Kapiladev, the chapter on the movements of the living entity, which describes the living entity in the womb, who is praying to the Supreme Lord. And that lecture woke me up. The next day I started to chant. Next day I chanted 12 rounds straight. And a few months later, 16 rounds, and I'm chanting since then. But of course, then I started to chant on a regular basis, and I went sometimes every Sunday to Antwerp. But I was married. I was a successful businessman. I had my own house, two children, and so on. But then I started to chant. And what happened? Where I was working, my boss said, I think I need another accountant. I lost my job. A few weeks later, my wife said, I think I need another husband. And I got into a divorce. I didn't want these things. So I lost all my properties, everything I had. I gave it to my ex-wife for the children, so that I was free from that. What could I do? I joined the temple. So that was Krishna's mercy. He plucked me out of a very entangling situation and put me right in the association of devotees. And there I am. I'm still chanting and trying my best. That you have heard all this list of things that I did, but of course that's not in the presentation from this morning. Nothing worked out really. Everything went wrong in my services, but the only thing I'm really good in, I can give some talks, that's all. I pray for your blessings that I can continue preaching with my service.
Thank you. That was very nice, and I'm happy that Krishna brought you here.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. Yeah, that is a question. Could you ask the following question to Maharaj? How to eliminate the demon of doubt from the heart? That these are
from the YouTube online.
Yeah, these are comments.
Comments, questions.
Yeah. It's from Nanda. In regards to the path to Golok being offered by Lord Chaitanya, what about the great devotees who appeared before Lord Chaitanya's advent, like example Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad? Are we to understand? Yeah, Prahlad. Prahlad, its destination is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, because Lord Nrsimhadeva has his own planet there. Dhruva Maharaj, the same, Vaman Devas is also his planet in Vaikuntha, not Golok. So, that they are not in Golok is that they can get a chance at some time later. It's not their mood. If they have the desire to do that, to go to Golok, then they have to come back to Bhumi and associate with the associates, with the residents of Vrindavan. But that's unlikely. They have this mood in, that's their eternal Svarup. That's, and it's in our reference. The chance to Golok, like say Jai and Vichai, after getting three times, they came again as Jagai and Madai and made also more progress. Do others get that chance also? Yes. That's if we practice Krishna consciousness, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one is never lost. Whatever progress you make, you remain, and then in the next life, you go further. So Krishna gives us all chances. Good. And about the demon of doubt, how to destroy that? Krishna says, Tesham. When we perform devotional service, Krishna enters the heart with the light of knowledge and removes all darkness and doubts. So that is the process. Thank you very much.
Maharaj, last question.
Yep.
While you are explaining the divine, I would say, about three realization and the quoted as vast from Guru Krishna. But then you characterize in the progression as Nishtha. And then you say in 1861 that you showed us a little Dana, that's from the realization, next fire. And that's.
Asakti, yeah. Asakti.
Asakti.
Asakti is superficial realization.
So what is the difference with the yogis who are also Paramatma, but they are not devotee?
The yogis, they realize that Paramatma as the controller of material nature. But they get stuck there unless they understand unless they understand that this Paramatma is an expansion of Krishna, they get stuck there. They must go to bhakti. That they realize it's control of material nature. It's good to know that supersoul controls material nature, and then you remain here. There is no escape to the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. That can only be permanently gotten by Ananya Bhakti, pure devotional service.
Would you also say that because Nishtha state, as you mentioned, from the realization, the contamination of the person is perceived because one realization of realization is fully established. But from the realization,
yeah, that means that the impersonalists, they don't attain full Brahman realization. They have to come down again. And that's what Brahma, that this is explained in the 10th canto, that 10th canto, this verse. Yeah, that this verse. Yenyaram Vindakshi Vimuktamanas Tvayasta Baba Avisuddha Buddha. Avisuddha Buddha, yeah, their intelligence is still impure.
But they are in Brahman.
Well, it's yeah, let's say they attain Brahman, which is very rare. They are in Brahman, okay? You are in Brahman, everything is peaceful. No miseries anymore, and it feels good, and they are sitting there in their own bliss, but after some millions of years they think it's boring here, it's nothing to do, so they have to come back. It's like someone comes out of the hospital, he's cured, and he hangs out in the hospital. No, he has to go out of the hospital and take up his normal activities before, go to work and so on. But if one says, I hang out in the hospital. No, they are in Brahman, but the soul hankers to relationships with Krishna and with other living entities. Without this relationship, there is no life. That's the point, the natural activity of the soul is to serve and love Krishna. And that's what we want. But they don't want to accept Krishna. So they have to come back. Srila Prabhupada said it's like Sputnik. Goes up and have to come down again. But therefore they don't attain really Brahman realization. Because their Brahman realization is temporary. But they enter the Brahmajyoti for some time, and their Sadashiva is there. The Sadashiva is the origin of all the other Shivas, but he's in a transcendental position. And there, he writes on Nanda, his bull, and with his associates, they do kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. They do kirtan to the Brahmajyoti to liberate his impersonalists. And that is that you can hear about and read about in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Gop Kumar enters the Brahmajyoti.
Do they, do the soul really like awaken to be in relationship with Krishna in that place by their kirtan, or something is there against that?
Well, the thing is that if you come to Brahman realization, the heart is practically pure. And when you come then in contact with Krishna, then you become attracted. Like Sukadev Goswami was liberated from birth, and then he left for the forest. But Sukadev Goswami sent his disciples to just to recite verses of the Bhagavatam about Krishna. And Sukadev Goswami became immediately attracted. Impersonalists, if they are offensive, they must desire to get out of their situation, and they must be open to hear about Krishna. So it depends also on their desire. Anyway.
Is it interesting, because I was just also reading one Srila Prabhupada's quote. He says, if you are a devotee, you must be happy. Then another devotee says, but he's not feeling happy. And Prabhupada says, that's not devotee. Devotee means must be happy. And then he quotes this, Rupa Bhuta Prajnatma. He must be happy because he is in that. That is devotee. From that angle, Maharaj, everybody immediately should come to Brahmanya.
No, the point is, Iya Yasya Areda Shekharmanamana Sakri Nikolash Apavasya Shiva Muksha Uchati. That's acting in pure devotion. If one acts in pure devotion, with really the desire to give everything to Krishna and nothing for me, you feel this bliss, and then you are really devotee. If you don't do that and you say, okay, but I want still this for me and that for Krishna, then this bliss from Brahman will not come. And we are also in that situation, trying to become the devotees. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Jai Prabhupada.